It's exciting days for you guys, isn't it? I mean, that's one thing. You can't actually just sit there and say, actually, it's boring, can you? At least I hope not. But the things that are going on in this congregation and your plans and stuff, you know, I just want to take my hats off to you. My hats? My hat? I've only got one head. But I do want to honour you because I think... you guys are really getting behind the leadership and helping them to adventure. You know, and when we adventure, they're okay, there's a risk of failing. Absolutely, there's a risk of failing when we adventure. But actually, there's also the risk of breaking through. Whereas if we do nothing, if we just carry on doing the same kind of things we've always done, then, well, we all get a bit bored. And that's not the reason for this change, this change that you guys are embracing about moving to the URC. You know, this is something in the heart of God. I hope you know that. You know, I hope you can see the heart of God in it, because not just because they've got a nice building, and it's going to be good to be in a nice building for a change, but if you look up and down the land, if you look at what God is doing in our land right now, one of the things he's doing is helping churches to partner. All over the land, churches are partnering. And this is fantastic, because when we partner together, when brothers live together in unity, there the Lord commands his blessing. You know, and that's happening. Just this week, there was an opening up in Loughborough where the Open Heaven Church are partnering with the Elim Pentecostal Church. They have a fabulous hours up there this week visiting their building. Yeah, but they're partnering. Vicky, bless her, over in the Journey, has been partnering with the Methodists there for 5 or 6 years. She's been one of the trailblazers in this partnering thing. You know, we have a formal partnership with, at the top level, with the Methodists. You know, God is doing this all up and down the land. So I just see this as something as part of that partnering that God, the Holy Spirit, is wanting to do. Yeah, and there's some difficult stuff to work out, like the time we meet and other things like that. But, you know, hey, let's just roll with the Spirit for a season and see what he does, because we can't predict what will happen when we take steps like this. We can't. You guys couldn't predict what would happen when you sowed into that building. How many years ago? 10 years ago, whatever it was. Because you may not know, but you did. Nigel told me yesterday, and I'm very grateful for you for telling me that, Nigel. But when Nigel was leading this congregation, actually, you guys gave a gift into the building of that building. Do you know that? This is the spiritual principles at work here. You know, the gift opens the way to the giver. Okay, I better get on and do my talk, otherwise I'll get into trouble. But I just wanted to just say a few words into that, since I'm not here all the time. Unlike the Lord, who's here all the time. Can I have my slides, please, Tim? Oh, that's the book I recommended last week. Just so you just, these slides are just going to go rolling in the background rather than me just speak through them. So you can take that. That book was one I've read on the end times and what good ways of, healthy ways of looking at Revelation and other end time scriptures. But this morning I'm going to be looking at the presence of God. God's omnipresence. God is everywhere. And that's something that, when you talk to people, that's something that generally people understand. If there is a God, that he's everywhere. That's something that is quite in our culture, which we've been a Christian culture for such a long time, that is just accepted. And if you look at, Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to read out a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 1. It's always good to read scripture. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the very brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. He sustains all things. God is everywhere, in everything. Psalm 139 tells us, doesn't it? There's nowhere we can hide from his presence. If we go up to heaven, he's there. If we go down to the depths of Sheol, the place of the dead, he's there. If we have wings and can go to the far side of the sea, even there his hand will guide me, it says. His right hand will hold me. Even darkness is light to him, it says. There's nothing that can hide me from God. He is everywhere. Which is very comforting to know. It's very comforting. But at one level, to know that God is everywhere is not the most helpful way of seeing it. because we know that God is especially present at different times and places. Anyone remember a particular time in the Bible when he was especially present? The Mount of Transfiguration, yeah? Sorry? Jesus, he was especially present. The answer is always Jesus, Tim. Yeah, thank you very much for reminding me of that. You're still in Sunday school. But there are other occasions. Isaac and the burning bush, yeah. Jacob and the ladder.
Creation.
Okay, I'm going to give you a helping hand with one that always springs to mind when I think of this. And that is the inauguration of Solomon's temple. If you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, let's read a couple of verses from there. They're all gathered together to celebrate the temple being opened. And it said in verse 13, "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make sound to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, his mercy endures forever,' that the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house." That's something that springs to mind when I think about God's presence. God being present in different times and in different places. Sometimes he's less present than other times. I won't ask you to quote passages from the Bible because they're harder to kind of to come by. But if you look in the same book, 2 Chronicles 32, in the time of Hezekiah and the Babylonian envoys, if you look at this, this is quite an interesting verse. 32, verse 31. It says, "However," just talk about all the good things that Hezekiah has done, all the wonderful things about bringing the revival to the land and how he saw off the Assyrian armies and all those kind of things. And then it says at the end, "However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him." That's Hezekiah. "God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart." It's quite interesting, isn't it? That's an interesting verse on many levels. But, you know, there's something about space that gives us freedom. And freedom is very important to the heart of God. And he wanted to give Hezekiah, what are you saying? "I just want to give Hezekiah freedom. That's all. I want to give Phil freedom." And but it's not just an aimless freedom. It's not just a wanton freedom. But it's actually, I want to know what's in your heart. Because psychologists will tell you, they've done research, they've actually done experiments to tell you that most of us actually behave very differently when we know we're being watched. And, you know, come on, let's not be hypocritical. We all do to a certain extent. And when God's around, you know, it's pretty difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, he's everywhere. So, yeah, in theory, we should all know that and live like that. But actually, because of his grace, he's allowed a certain amount of space between us and him. And that's why it's sometimes difficult to actually appreciate he's there. Because actually, he wants us to have that space, that freedom, to know what's in our heart. It's interesting that God actually needs to know that and draw it out. Okay. But so this presence thing is a choice. The presence of God is a choice. God chooses to be with us. If you don't believe me, you can turn to the book of Exodus chapter 33. He was quite angry with Israel at the time. They just built those golden calves and started worshipping them rather than him after he'd done all he did to bring them out of Egypt. He was a bit miffed. He was so angry with them. He said, "I can't go with you," in case my anger just erupts. I don't want to go with you. And then Moses pleads with him. He said, let your presence go with us. And God says, okay, since you've asked me that, I'm going to do it. I will go with you. So God has a choice whether he's especially present with us or not. And of course, we have a choice whether we want to be with him. And in one way or other, you can look at the whole of creation, the whole of the story, history, as actually a battle around the presence of God. You could see it that way. Because in the beginning, Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the garden. There was that presence. When they sinned, of course, they hid from his presence. And then in chapter 4, verse 16, it tells us that his descendant, Cain, went out from the presence of the Lord. And the rest of history is about God trying to reestablish a connection, a people that will be present with him, choose to be in his presence, because men have been hiding ever since. And let's face it, I know I've hidden from the Lord at times, and I know every single one of us here, I'd do a show of hands, I know that we've all done our fair share of hiding. But it doesn't stop God wanting to call out to us, and he's calling out to us today. Where are you? Where are you? He called out to Adam and Eve and said, where are you? He's still searching for us and wants to be with us intimately. But you see, the thing is, God is humble and gentle. Jesus says that, you know, come to me, all you who are weary, for I am humble and gentle in heart. God is humble and gentle, and he won't force his way into our lives. You know, and if we want to live without him, if we choose to not to live in his presence, that choice is open to us. And for 24 years of my life, I made that choice. But at university, when somebody bought me a Bible, I read it. I read 10 chapters of Matthew. And I found myself weeping as I realized that if Jesus could help me with the problems of the heart, then I needed help. And I cried out to God. I said, God, if you're there, I had no idea if he was there. I said, if you're there, please come into my life. And I woke up the next morning. I felt stupid at the time, I must tell you. I felt really quite silly. I didn't know what I was praying to, who I was praying to, what, you know. But the next morning I woke up and the world looked a completely different place. I was filled with such an extreme joy and peace. And the truth was, I invited him in. And he comes. That is an eternal truth. God always comes when we invite him in. But it's equally true that he will not force his way into our lives. That's true every day, not just that first day when I invited him in, but it was true every day since. Try and make it a habit when I say good morning to the Lord to welcome him into my life. Please fill me today. Knowing that this truth, something that Roger Forster said he does every morning, is to invite the Holy Spirit into his life. And that's what Jesus said, isn't it, to us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will, not I may, if it doesn't look too dirty, if it's not too much of a mess, if they're not in a bad mood, if they're not too angry with me, if they're not too cynical. No, I will come in and eat with them. My Father and I will come in and eat with them. A promise. And that promise is not given, you know, it's often used in evangelism to people. And it's true for evangelism, yeah, because if you invite the Lord in as a seeker, as someone who doesn't yet know him, he will come in and speak to you today. I guarantee it. If you're sitting here today, you do not know Jesus, pray. If you seriously want to know if God is there, ask him. And I guarantee he will meet with you. That's my experience. That's what the Bible teaches. But it's true also for us Christians, because that letter in Revelation was written to Christians. It's written to us. It's written to you and me. I stand at the door and knock. The Laodiceans were in a bit of a bad way. He said they weren't hot or cold. They were like lukewarm water, and lukewarm water is a bit yucky. He said, I want to spew it out of my mouth. I wish you were either hot or cold, he says. But the answer was, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm not giving up. I'm just there. So, you know, we've got to practice the presence. We have to practice the presence of God. Which, if it's a choice, it's something that we have freedom over. We can actually influence how much of the presence of God we experience. It's not something that he sovereignly just chooses to drop on certain people. It's God's will for us all to experience his presence. He's looking for those who are hungry for his presence. And we demonstrate that hunger. Simple thing, we stop hiding. One of the ways we demonstrate hunger is to stop hiding. Okay, I've been caught out. I've lied this week, whatever. I've shouted at the wife this week, or whatever it is I've done, I'm ashamed of. I just say, hand up, I've done that, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's how we stop hiding. Whereas it's easy just to allow those things we've done wrong just to say, oh, you know, oh, I won't. I just won't pray. It's not even a thought through thing. We just don't do it because it's uncomfortable. But if we can stop hiding, God takes away our shame and washes us clean. Prayer is another one. Practice talking to God. You know, that was my experience in the university bedroom. I talked to him and he met me. Ask for his presence is another one. It says in Luke 11:13, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? No ifs, buts, no qualifications. It's just those who ask. Again, it's that promise. And worship, you know, it's funny to come and talk about presence, really, this morning, being asked to, because we were in the presence of God, in the worship, and I would love just to spend all morning worshipping. I really appreciate the gift of our musicians, people like Rob and Roger and Chris and others. We're really blessed in River Church. It's a real key to meditate on God's goodness, to sing the truth of God's love for us. Just brings us into the place of heaven. It brings us into its presence. Like nothing else for me. The music itself is a kind of spiritual thing, isn't it? That stirs us deeply in our emotions. So combined with the truth and the words, it just takes us into that place, that beautiful place, which is a place of transformation. As we sit in his presence. It's a real key for us. And, you know, in that place, it's okay to be overwhelmed by the love of God. Or by the presence of God, it's actually okay. It's okay to jump around and dance like a lunatic. I think it was your dad who said I looked like a demented puppet when he saw me in church. It's okay to look like a demented puppet, I think. Not everybody should, but it is okay to. And really, anything goes in our worship. Anything goes. Anything goes when we're in the presence of God. And, you know, I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, I used to be easily offended about things that went on or didn't go on in church. I'm a bit ashamed of that now. But I used to be easily offended if people did things I didn't think were in the Bible. Anybody else been there? Anybody else going to be honest with me? I used to be easily offended if people were falling over, or if they were twitching, you know, or if they were making loud noises, if they were falling around like they were drunk. You know, I think, what has that got to do with God? I was a bit pharisaical about it, I must say. You know, I struggled with it. I said, where's the fruit? What is God doing? And I don't understand. Really ashamed of that now. And that happened during the Toronto outpouring, you know, Toronto blessing, so-called, you know. I struggled with that. I thought, where's the people getting saved? Where's the healings? You know, what's going on here? I don't understand. It can't be. It's not in the Bible. It can't be God. At one level, that was going on at me. At the same level, I think, if it is God, I want it. And I'm really ashamed of that at that time. I remember Jeff and Sheila coming up to me, or Jeff came up to me at the end of one meeting and said, Colin, you know, God's doing amazing things in this day, you know, and all these people experiencing all these wonderful things. I was standing there a bit like a lemon thinking, what's going on? And he said, what do you want God to do for you? I said, the most shallow answer I can I'm ashamed of it. This answer keeps me awake at night. Jeff needs to know that. I said to him, I'd like to experience the laughter that those guys are experiencing. Colin, what are you like? The laughter's neither here nor there. Really, the truth is, actually, it doesn't matter. The outward look of what we are like, what matters is, are we in the presence of God or not? And let's face it, okay, Phil, if you are in the presence of the almighty sustainer, creator of the universe, okay, the God who keeps you alive, the God who keeps all your cells going, and the God who knows you intimately, knows, I think you might behave a little different than you are in my presence. Probably. I'm glad you agree with me. You know, but that's the truth. We might behave a little oddly in the presence of someone like that. The Bible often says that people fall down, weak, unable to move. I think I might be one of those. You know, let's be gracious to one another in those things. It really doesn't matter if we dance like a demented puppet, if we lie on the floor groaning as if we're in childbirth, or if we laugh our heads off. That's not the important. The important thing is, are we experiencing the presence of the God who loves us with an undying love? Because not only is he the maker and sustainer of the universe, but he loves us. Ah, that gets you. And when it gets you, oh, you know, when you know you're in love, I hope most of us here have been in love. When we feel that emotion, when we know it, experience it, it makes us go weak. And anything goes when we're in love. We do crazy things, and we can do crazy things in the presence of Jesus. That's okay. You know, one of the reasons I think we have tongues is really a gift to us, so that we don't understand everything. It pushes us gently, sometimes a bit more gently, a bit of a shove, into the place of mystery. And some mystery is healthy and some mystery is not very healthy. But that's a healthy mystery, you know. That somehow our spirits commune with God's spirit in a language we don't understand. And my own experience is, when I pray in tongues, things happen that doesn't happen when I don't pray in tongues. I don't understand what's going on, but I continue to pray in tongues because I know it works. I have to let go of my mind and let my mind focus on the love of God as I'm praying in tongues, and then the fruitfulness comes. He loves our brains, but doesn't want us to be limited by our brains. That's one of the reasons I think that he was so often seen in Scripture as coming on the clouds. Because something weird about clouds is clouds hide things, don't they? So it's almost like even when he's coming on the clouds, actually there are bits that we can't see. And also in clouds, you experience things in different ways. It gives us all the permission to experience God in slightly different ways, because there's that cloudiness and we see different bits. Anyway, that's one thing that goes through my mind. But one of the things I want to say this morning, I think God wants to help us regain our sense of wonder. Because it's wonderful that Jesus is with us, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit dwell in us. That is wonderful. In the real sense of the word, that is full of wonder. God himself lives in this little frame, in that frame, in that frame, in that body. God himself lives with you. When you walk out of this place, you walk out hand in hand, arm in arm, with God. That is wonderful. And we take it for granted. Too often, the things we live with for a period of time become our norm, don't they? And we can get used to them. We get used to temperatures, living in different temperatures around the world. Humans are brilliant at adapting. We get used to different things going on in our homes, you know. If it's usually an atmosphere of strife in our home, we just get used to it like it's a wallpaper. We might expect it. We get used to things we shouldn't get used to, and we also get used to things that we shouldn't get used to being used to. But, you know, and this is amazing, guys, because often when guests come into our meetings, okay, they will say, wow, there was such a lot of love in the room. I really felt a lot of peace in the room today. I just love that worship. You know, this is one of the best parts of my week, they'll say. I get constantly guests coming up to me and saying how much they appreciate what we do. And last week when I was preaching, and I know some of you didn't understand what I was saying, I apologize for that. But But last week, as I was preaching, there was one guy who really couldn't understand what I was saying because he's Spanish. And he had a translator up until halfway, and then the translator had to just go and do something quickly. And the translator come back and apologized that she wasn't there to finish the translation. He said, "Oh, don't worry." He said, "It was wonderful." He said, "I didn't understand a word he was saying, that man over there, but I felt the positive energy." I'm thinking, you know, that's amazing. That is amazing, because actually we do minister much more than our words. You know, but he was amazing. God, sorry? Could be a key, couldn't it? It could be a key. Lord Jesus. But, you know, we must not get used to this. We must not get used to it. You know, the Pastures crowd, the church I'm seeing over in High Wycombe, they came to Deeper. 10 of them came to Deeper last time. They went around with fixed grins on their faces. They were gossiping about it to each other for days afterwards. This one, in 2 weeks' time, they're going to bring 25 people. And most of us in our church, Deeper, we'll go next month, maybe. I'm not saying that, I'm not putting that to any condemnation. I'm just saying, we just take stuff for granted, actually. We just need to wake up again and just continue to remind ourselves of the good things we have in Christ and be wonderful, full of wonder. Because the truth is, we're a dwelling place of God by His Spirit. That's just a series of talks you're doing. Ephesians chapter 2 says that. We're being built into a temple, a house of God, a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. That changes everything. God is especially present in you and me. That means when we go to places, that experience that happened in the temple when Solomon inaugurated it happens around us. When the light that we carry enters a dark place, that means the darkness flees. When we enter a hopeless situation, we bring hope. When we enter a loveless situation, we bring love. We bring the presence of God. That's not because we're special, just because God chooses to be with those who want to be with Him. Therefore, we can expect amazing things to happen when we turn up. Because when we turn up, God shows up. Gives us the courage to pray for the sick. The courage to proclaim peace and healing to every situation. I want us to really get hold of that. You know, yesterday I met a guy and at the Slough launch, actually, and he hadn't been to church since he was 15. And he's just so sad. He was so many struggles. He was wrestling with work problems in the home. I won't go into the details, not fair. But, you know, really quite deep-seated problems. He was opening up. And so I just said to him, "Look, I know that God will want to do something in your life. Can I pray for you?" And the reason I can say that is because in faith I have to believe that God is in me and able to hear my prayers, and my prayers make a difference to Him. Not because I'm the leader of River Church. No, just because actually I've said I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. And he said, "Yeah, I'm really open. I'd like prayer." So I started to pray for him, and tears started to roll down his cheeks. He started to weep. He said, "I don't know why I'm getting emotional." I said, "Don't worry, it's good. The Holy Spirit is moving on you. Allow Him just to minister to your heart." Because God was present. God especially turned up to minister something to his heart at that moment, hope to his heart. He said, "He may come to church, we'll find out." But you know, we all have that wonderful gift, that wonderful ability, and what God wants to restore wonder today. And I just want to finish there. I don't know what time the kids are coming back in, Keith. Oh dear. I'm sorry. You did warn me. Rob, can you guys come up and just play for us? Thank you. Because as I was thinking about this and just thinking about what the Lord wanted to say about the presence, for me, that verse from Revelation 3:20 was really leapt out at me. God saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And I just know that in this room today, there are people who are desperately hungry to experience more of the presence of Jesus. to be overwhelmed again by his love. And I just felt the Lord say, I want to restore wonder. I want to restore wonder. Childlike wonder. A freshness. There's no end of the love of God. We can never come to the knowledge of it completely. We can never lose that sense of wonder. There's always more to experience, always more to know. No matter how long we've sat in these chairs, no matter how many years we've been worshipping Jesus, there's always another fresh wonder to experience, a fresh infilling of his Spirit. God is inexhaustible, he's infinite, and we can't get our heads around that. But what it means is we never come to the end. Never come to the end. And God said, I want to come in and eat with people again today who are hungry for a fresh infilling. A fresh infilling. And let's close our eyes, because I don't want anybody else to get in the way of what we decide. But if you know that as I've been preaching, you've either been hiding, or actually you've been in a place where actually you just got used to it, you've just lost that sense of wonder, and you are hungry for more of the intimate, infinite God who loves you, and to be overwhelmed again by his love, I just want to say, raise your hand now, and thank you for your honesty, thank you. Thank you. Because I tell you right now, God has promised you, everyone, put your hands down, it's okay. I tell you, I prophesy, I proclaim to you what God spoke to me. He said, I am going to come in and eat with you today. I'm coming in right now. I'm coming in to eat with you today.
A couple of weeks ago when we were here, and it's come back really, really strongly. You know when you have children and they do something wrong and they run out of the room, and you kind of say, we won't go after them, they'll come back. God's not like that. When we run away or walk away, God isn't standing there going, well, they'll come back when they feel like it, or when they've calmed down, or whatever. God runs after you, and God's running after you this morning. He's running after you and running after you and running after you until you stop and turn, and he wants to hug you, and he wants to meet with you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A sense of wonder right now. Let's open up our hearts. Say, Lord, I welcome you into my heart right now. I welcome you. I welcome you. Come in, Lord God. I'm sorry it's a bit messy, but I welcome you into my heart. Come and eat with me. Open my eyes again, Lord God, to see your wonder, to see your glory, to see you in your absolute beauty and majesty and love. Open my eyes that I might see you. Open my ears that I might hear you. Restore to me that sense of wonder, Lord Jesus. God is coming, the God is coming to meet you with you. And some of you feel it right now. Some of you are feeling God and feeling his love and knowing he's with you and sensing a difference straight away. Others will go away and they'll say, oh, well, I hope this makes a difference. It doesn't matter how you feel. What it matters is the promiser. The promiser is faithful and true. He's coming to you with a fresh sense of wonder. A fresh sense of wonder. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Jesus. And Chris, you know, I just caught your eye then, and God's coming upon you with a fresh sense of wonder in this season. He's going to do stuff that surprises you. I just see him doing things which bring joy to you. So I'm going to put a smile on Chris's face. I'm going to do stuff to make you wonder at God's goodness. You're going to know, again, in this season, he treats you better than you deserve. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep us on God's side. Thank you, Jesus. And, yeah. These people haven't necessarily put their hands up, by the way. I just felt the Holy Spirit say, John, you know, at the back there. Yeah, and you. I felt the Lord say, before I was praying this morning about this, that actually the Lord, there's a fresh sense of wonder coming on you in this season. A fresh sense of the wonder of God coming upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's got a few surprises up his sleeve for you too. Yeah, it's going to make you smile. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stacey, will you stand up? Because I just felt that, again, the Lord said to me that a fresh sense of wonder is coming in this season. And I saw you raise your hands and I saw things fall off. And it's like a sense of real wonder and energy released to you. Because, you know, when our eyes are full of wonder, there's a fresh energy that comes. We find ourselves being able to do stuff we couldn't do before. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not saying you're going to dance like a demented puppet. But I do see that lightness to your step, which is like a dancer coming on you. Because God loves you, Stacey. God loves you with an undying love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is the season. This is the season when you work things out together that you've not worked out. This is the season. Breakthrough is coming to you in the areas you've longed for it. Thank you, Jesus. Because God is coming in to sit and eat with you in intimate ways. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. You're amazing. You're amazing, Jesus. Let's all stand, shall we, and worship the Lord, because that's the place of intimacy. That's the place of his presence. And let's all now come before the throne of grace. And let's allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. By his love for me and for you. Let's not worry about the person next to us, to the left or the right. Let's just focus on Jesus. And allow ourselves to be completely bowled over by the fact that he loves us. And let's experience his presence as we sing about his goodness. Thank you, Jesus.